Good evening. I want to make a little clarification or addition to this morning before we look at what we want to consider tonight. Some of you here are old enough to remember. A husband and wife are driving down the road together. And she looks over at her husband and she says, honey, I remember when we were dating and first married, I would sit next to you and maybe you would push in the clutch and I would shift, do the shifting. Or, you know, I would do other things as we sat next to one another, turn the radio on and control all that. And she says, I just wonder whatever happened to that. And he turned and looked at his wife over there and said, I haven't gone anywhere. Now, it's important you understand that God never went anywhere. Man moved away from God. It's man that must be reconciled to God. God is never reconciled to man. It's always God reconciles man, but it's always man to God. And I think that's an important clarification that I didn't have time to make because Michael set the computer off to up to go off at noon. So when that happened, I didn't have time to make that statement. Tonight, I want you to go to Exodus chapter 3. Tonight will be a little different. It will be a missionary report, in a sense, but I want to... The whole purpose of the report, if it had a whole purpose, is first of all, to give glory to God. Second is to encourage you personally, individually, to be active for the Lord. So we'll go to Exodus chapter 3 and we'll just read a very short portion there. The Lord is talking to Moses, I'm sorry, chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. I want to encourage each of us tonight to think about what it is that's in your hand that God can use. We unfortunately live in a world and even in Christendom where there is the sense that everything has to be large to be, quote, successful. And I would want to encourage each of us that's not the case. That each of us probably and no doubt possess something in our hand, whether it's money or gift or a business or a service or a house. And the list could go on, that we can make available to the Lord, that the Lord can use in a great way. Many of you are familiar with Spread the Word, and that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit later. It's over 25 years in existence now, and it never operated out of a space bigger than this platform plus that stairwell. I've had people come and say, Where's your warehouse? And I said, we don't have a warehouse. We have a printer who happens to store things for us, but we functioned out of a home for all those years. And so I want to encourage you that you need to really seriously think. Sometimes there are those who have professions or businesses, occupations, that somehow separate them from possibly using them for the Lord. But I want to suggest that you sit and think about ways that you can use what God has given you to serve Him, to further the gospel, to encourage your local assembly, to build up other saints, whatever the ministry might be. Seriously ask, what is it that God has put in my hand? We live, despite our current economic conditions, we live in a very prosperous situation, probably at the top 1-3% of the world as far as level of living. And so I think that there's probably things that God has placed at your disposal that you could use for Him. I think of a brother who is getting up in years, a good bit older than me, actually. And he has a prayer book. And that prayer book probably has 300 names in it. And he regularly just takes time, which is what's in his hand, and consistently prays for probably 300 people a day. Doesn't take any space. Doesn't take any money. But God has given him the time to do that. Think of another brother who has a business, and I won't mention it because you might know, who never dreamt that he could use his business for the Lord until one day he was asked, "Have you ever thought about using your business for the Lord?" And since then, he has very often used his business for the Lord. So what is in your hand? That's a question. And then go back to the book of Matthew and chapter 13. And before I read this section, let me add, and maybe there are those here who are involved, but there are those who sit in their homes on a daily basis with no overhead. There are expenses, and who mark Emmaus correspondence courses and correspond with prisoners out of their home many hours a day or many hours a night. But again, there's no great requirement for space. The overhead is very low. The expense for what the Lord is doing with that work is small. So be encouraged. You can be used of the Lord, even though you don't have great things. Matthew 13, verse 3, the Lord Jesus speaking. "And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Other seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I would want to encourage you to be sowers of the seed of the Word of God, and particularly of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, you notice when the sower goes forth, when he is sowing the seed, he sows it, in essence, everywhere. He's not selective. We tend to often be selective. We feel, well, the gospel wouldn't have any effect here, or this person is really not open to the gospel, or this type of person, we may even say to ourselves, is beyond saving, which would be a horrible thing to say. So we want to be those who are ready and prepared and willing to sow the seed anywhere and everywhere and leave the outcome with God. There's another parable where someone sowed seed and went to sleep, went to bed, got up in the morning, and there was the grass. It's a beautiful thing about the Word of God. It's active and it's living. And often when we sow it, we don't see any immediate results. But we fail to realize sometimes it penetrates the mind. It lodges like seed in the mind. I was saying to some today that we recently went to Yosemite National Park, which I found to be just a very striking place. And one of the things that strikes you is that, well, number one, there are granite rock faces that are straight up 3,000-4,000 feet high. Now, I would have to tell you how many World Trade Centers that is stacked on top of each other, maybe to impress you. But it is a straight face, thousands of feet high. But what's amazing is that out of these rock faces here and there, there are trees that are growing. Seeds have been blown by the wind from other trees and carried and have lodged into small cracks in these huge rock faces. And given time and moisture and sunlight, amazingly, a tree comes and you see this tree growing out of this hard rock. We need to be encouraged that when we sow the seed of the Word of God and of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, it can grow in hard places. Now, I realize in this parable, the hard place is an illustration of a heart that is not open. But the seed has a way of working its way in, and it's active and living. And if you have listened to, let's say, Unshackled for years, you have probably heard a number of stories where someone remembers 25 years later that their grandmother or their Sunday school teacher said something to them from the Word of God, and the Spirit of God took that 25 years later and began to use it and to work it, and eventually the person was converted. So be encouraged to sow the seed anywhere and everywhere. Don't be selective. And lastly, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. It's also good for us to realize that when we plant, there are others who water. And they may water in several ways. I think it's a wonderful thing for an assembly, and I don't know what your practice is, but I think it's a wonderful thing for your assembly if you have an opportunity to witness to someone And I'll just say, Bob at work. You got a chance to witness to Bob at work. It'd be great if you came before the assembly on prayer night and said, I had an opportunity to witness to Bob at work. I'd like us to pray for Bob and his salvation. I'd like us to pray for wisdom for how to continue, or pray that the Lord takes the seed and brings it to full growth. It does something for an assembly to know that there are real people out there who are being given the gospel who need to be prayed for to water the seed. Now, at York, we have a paper that's given out every Wednesday evening with praise items and prayer items. And we're encouraged that if we witness to someone, to call the person who puts that paper together. And when that paper is given out, it would be a notice on there that someone had a chance to witness to this person. Please pray for them. And the assembly will be praying for that seed that was sown. There's an encouragement there. It's not just that you're acting alone. It is that others can come together and water it. You can also water it, of course. Pete, God brings someone else along, perhaps even at a much later date, another Christian. Person might be in a totally different environment, and the subject comes up, and the person might say, yes, someone else told me about that. And the second person gets the chance then to water it, to increase it, to cause it to go a little further. And then we know there are those who actually have the opportunity of reaping the harvest, who a person has heard the word, the Lord, the Spirit of God has used it in conviction, and they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And that's a wonderful experience to have. But we all need to be encouraged that the primary function is to sow the seed. You see, without the word, they'll never be saved. Now, it is true, Romans 1 says they have the witness of creation, but that's just of the divinity of God and the Godhead and the power of God. It's not concerning Jesus Christ and the cross work at Calvary. They need the word. And let me encourage you, the word doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a dissertation on the book of Romans. It can be a simple statement that causes them to think, or it could be a statement of fact. It could be a statement of saying, do you know that the Bible says that Christ is coming back to take the church off the earth, and the world will go into a 7-year period of absolute horrible conditions that Christ said have never happened before and will never happen again. Maybe that's the extent of your statement. Maybe your statement is simply, are you aware that God has made a way that you can be right with him and know forgiveness of sins? And so there's a multitude of seeds that can be put out. And I want to encourage you to be sowers of the seed. Seed sowers, which is a group that does exactly that. So be encouraged. You don't have to be big. Be encouraged. God has given you something that you can use to serve him. It might be small in your eyes, but it can be used mightily of the Lord. You remember the Lord took the number of loaves and the fishes, the small number, and multiplied them. The Lord has a way of multiplying. You know? Sometimes you may minister to a person or to a ministry. What you don't know is that that person or that ministry may in turn minister to another person and another ministry. And that may in turn do likewise. And there's like a throwing a stone in a pond. There's a ripple effect. And I sometimes think that we're going to need eternity to learn of all the logistics of what went on with the Word of God. What happened when perhaps you gave to a ministry that sends Bibles to China. What happened with that? Where did that lead? I think it's going to be an amazing time. So I just read these verses and give you a little encouragement. I want to give you a little report on Spread the Word tonight. It's different than any missionary report that you would see typically, because it's run as a quiz. So you didn't know you were coming to a quiz tonight, but you're going to be quizzed. Now, you don't have to feel bad. Either you don't know the answer or you guessed and you have the wrong answer. For your encouragement, they're multiple choice. Okay? And I'm extremely thankful for multiple choice questions. It helps people get through college. So, and again, I want, as you listen to the report and we go through it, I want you to get the sense of God can use little things, doesn't have to be big. God can multiply. God can meet needs, unknown needs. So I want you to be encouraged and just not think of Spread the Word, but I do want you to see and rejoice at to see what God has done and is doing over the years. So my first question is, in what year did Spread the Word start? Now you can put your hand up and give an answer, take a guess. 1982. He's thinking I'm giving out prizes tonight, but I'm not. But 1982 is the correct answer. So how old does that make it, Justin? Now he's counting fingers. Okay, roughly 28 years, that's correct. Which is very, very hard for me to conceive. It was started in a house, I can see it. I put up a wall to cut off half of the family room to create an office. As I said, it would be no bigger than probably this platform. Never dreaming that it would have that type of longevity. But that's the way the Lord functions. In what year did Spread the Word receive nonprofit status? Now, what does that mean? That means you have to file with the IRS and they determine that you're a legitimate nonprofit ministry. And let me say that with 9/11, this has become a much touchier issue because they're afraid of people setting up cell groups who then pass money to another cell group, who pass it to another cell group, makes it very hard to trace where the money goes. So there is some difficulty today, but not impossible, but harder today than back then. What does this mean also? It also means that people who send funds to Spread the Word, if they're deducting things on their income tax, can legitimately deduct it from their income tax. It means that Spread the Word can legitimately pass funds to other ministries or other workers. Okay? So when do you think that would have happened? Mike? 1985. 1983. So for roughly 27 years. It's funny because every May, and there's a question on this, every May we have to send a report to the IRS, a detailed report. And one time there was a block up in the upper right-hand corner. It said, final report. So I checked it off, thinking it meant this is our final report for the year. What it meant was the ministry was dissolving, and this was the last report. So it actually for a small fraction of time, lost its nonprofit status, and the Lord worked mightily, actually, to work through a lady at IRS to reestablish it. So I almost lost that. What was the first ministry of Spread the Word? Okay, you obviously don't know, so I can tell you. It wasn't printing tracts, and it wasn't milk and honey. It was a telephone outreach. And what we did was we put an ad in a paper, and it said this: for a message that could change your life forever, call this number. And they called, and they heard a 3-minute gospel message. Let me encourage you to take a piece of paper and a pencil, an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, or 8 by 10, whatever a typical tablet is, and write out the gospel. You would be amazed what you can say on one sheet of paper in 3 minutes. When you read that, it'll be about 3 minutes long. And you take out all the redundant statements, all the unnecessary statements, and you get down to the essence. You can say a tremendous amount in 3 minutes. It's a good exercise because when you get to personal witnessing, that exercise then helps you succinctly state the gospel. So they would call. If they left their name, we sent them a longer cassette tape to listen to. We never heard from anyone who said, I accepted Christ because of these tapes. I do know of people who got the tapes, took them to their job site, and at lunchtime sat around with other people and listened to the tapes. So one of the reasons that was stopped was because the newspaper decided that because we changed the title, we started putting titles in. One week was on alternate lifestyles, and we received 300 calls. And when we started changing the title, they said, oh, we can't give you a running ad price. We have to charge you for a new ad every week, and it was pretty pricey. So that kind of brought that to an end. In what year was Milk and Honey started? Mike? 1985. I like people who go out on the limb. 1986. It's all right. I said, don't be embarrassed. What that means is that next, Lord willing, next May, Milk and Honey will have completed 25 years. Now, when that was started, I'll explain the technology to you. Each page was set on my computer. I then had to drive to a local town, go into a printing service, pay them $1 per page to print it out on a laser printer. Then I had to mail those laser printed pages up to New York to the printer. He then took those pages and made plates and printed Milk and Honey and then sent them to us back down here in Pennsylvania. And then Tom Irwin, who you know, and his wife, and Nancy and I spent probably 6 or 7 hours one night just labeling them all and getting them arranged in bags to go to the bulk mailing situation. So that was the beginning, and it started by going through the assembly address book and sending 2 copies of the first issue with a sign-up sheet for any who wanted to be added to the mailing list. So we sent out maybe 700-800 letters to assemblies asking if anyone was interested in obtaining Milk and Honey. How many copies of Milk and Honey are distributed each month? Who said that? He's correct. 7,000 copies a month go out with the bulk of them going to the U.S. and Canada, but a good number of them going around the world. In fact, how many countries is Milk and Honey sent to each month? 15. Okay. Answer is 30. So Milk and Honey goes to 30 different countries. And the way that happens, today I set the computer, and yes, I'm responsible for the misspellings. I set it on a computer. I send it to the printer via an attachment to an email, by an email. He doesn't even print it out. He goes from the software directly to the printer, prints it, sends 5,500 of them to a local printer near us, who then I email every month a new mailing list, and they take that mailing list and they match it up with Milk and Honey and print all the addresses. So if you receive Milk and Honey and your address is printed on there, it was printed on there by a local mailing service in York. The foreign ones come to us, and we have to individually put them in envelopes, but normally they're in packets. In other words, normally in Canada, we would send 10, 12, 15, 20 to an assembly. It's cheaper and it's easier, of course, but we do send individuals. Which country is Milk and Honey not sent to? Go ahead. Congratulations. See, if you keep trying. Yeah. Yeah, for some strange reason, it doesn't go to Switzerland. But it does go to the other countries that you see listed there. How many gospel tracts does Spread the Word publish and offer free of charge? I won't ask you how many hundreds of thousands are printed and distributed, but how many are there? You're out of it, Michael. You can't answer for two more questions. 25. Thank you. But 38 is the correct answer. 38 different tracts, and they come in different sizes. And the most popular lately are the business card tracts. They are easy to carry. They are easy to give away. They are easy to mail because they don't weigh that much. And they're short and to the point. We receive requests for a great number of them. The latest one we have is called It Was Nice Meeting You. And it's ideal when you meet a person that in most cases you'll never meet again. Maybe on an airplane, maybe on a train, whatever. You know that this is probably the one time you have to talk to them. And this little track is set up to tell them it was nice to meet them. And there's something you want to tell them. And that is they can know their sins forgiven. And it goes on to give them the gospel. No way you know this answer. In what city does a brother give away 200 gospel tracts per month? I get, quote, religiously. In fact, I just got it yesterday. A letter from this individual, and he's very precise as to, he wants a business card tract, and he's very precise as to which one he wants. I won't even ask you to take a guess. But in Houston, Texas, there's a brother down there who gets these 200 business card tracts every month, and he works at distributing them. That's sowing the seed. How many books and booklets does Spread the Word publish and produce? I should say distribute 99% of them free of charge. The answer is 37. Now, what's interesting about that is this. When we started and we printed, there's a number of booklets, there's 14 of them, that we printed and we published and wrote for prison work. Bob Gessner, who some of you know, who's a retired Spanish high school teacher, handled much of the Spanish correspondence with prisoners, with Spanish prisoners. over the years, and he put together a list of 14 questions that prisoners typically ask. Is Jesus God? What about the Trinity? Is the Bible really God's Word? Do we need a prayer book? Can we really know we're saved? And so we wrote 14 booklets, 14-page booklets, so that he and other prison workers would not have to kind of be rewriting the same answer. They could just send the booklet. And we wrote larger booklets, and you know some of them. You've had some of them. People specifically said, you'll never survive. You cannot publish these books and give them away. Well, 28 years later, we're giving them away. The Lord is faithful. There's a little saying, you know what it is. The Lord's work, done the Lord's way, the Lord will provide. And he has. And that's what I want to encourage you in. You may think, well, I don't have the resources. I don't have the capability. The Lord's work, done the Lord's way, the Lord will provide. And so be encouraged. The booklet, Tongues, Are They for Today? That was one of the little booklets that was printed for prison work. And by the way, those booklets have been incorporated into one book. Has been translated into which language? I'm going to start calling on people. Spanish, someone said? Well, that would be a logical choice. But the answer is Chinese. Fred Ruff has had it translated into Chinese, and it's been distributed in China for some time now. Again, I don't know where, how far reaching it is, but that's an outreach that was, I can tell you, never anticipated. Let me say with regard to your own ministry, which I really want to encourage you. The purpose tonight is not only to tell you about spread the word, but to encourage you to have a ministry. I probably said this to you before. I believe in evolution. Not evolution of man and the world. I believe in the evolution of ministries. I believe you start a ministry, and the Lord often takes it, and it evolves, and it goes somewhere you never dreamed, or it winds up doing something you never thought of. But ministries evolve. So you really want to keep in mind that what you're thinking of starting today is the seed of what might be used and grow into something different later. Name two books published and distributed free of charge by Spread the Word. Now, I should call names now. But that would be embarrassing. The lady should know one of them. All right. Headship and its Symbolic Practice. That's one. Characteristics of a New Testament Assembly. That's two. Marks of a New Testament Assembly. That's three. The Influence of the Family on the Church. That's four. The One Pastor System is a Biblical. That's five. And the list goes on. There's many, many others, but that's ones that I would think maybe, given the opportunity, you would remember or have seen. What's the annual postage cost per year of Spread the Word? And I'm saying this, as you'll see later, not because I'm soliciting your funds, because we never do that and never have for 25 years. $18,000 worth of postage. It almost brings me to tears. You're looking at $1,500 a month. I am so blessed to be able to see. I have seen the Lord provide. If you were standing there today, he multiplied the fish and the loaves. You would be blessed to see that. I have been blessed to see the Lord provide in ways that are not always the ways we would think. How many commended workers in the U.S. and Canada receive funds to spread the word? You can send funds to spread the word, get a tax receipt for it, and suggest workers that it be distributed to. And 100% of the funds that come in go out. We take nothing out of it, and we distribute the funds to these workers. See, I'm going to look around the room, maybe start picking on people. Huh? 126 to 150. 151 to 175 workers receive funds through Spread the Word. There is another ministry in Kansas, Christian Workers Fellowship, where you can send funds that to be distributed to workers in the United States. Because CMML really doesn't like to do that. They prefer to stick to distributing funds to overseas missionaries. The one in Kansas is much larger, but the funds that go through Spread the Word are probably distributed faster. In other words, if you wanted to get funds to somebody quickly, normally in Kansas they would have a date like the 23rd of the month. That's when they send out funds. Normally, it's Spread the Word within 48 hours, the funds are in and gone. What's the total yearly amount distributed to commended workers each year? I can see you're tired. 90 to $100,000 is typically distributed each year. Now, which of the following assembly ministries has Spread the Word ministered to out of its general funds, meaning not funds that were sent to us with a specific, you please pass this on to so-and-so or please pass this on to this ministry. And by the way, if a person would send us funds and say, please send this to New Hampshire, Gospel Chapel, that wouldn't be something we would typically do because there's no tax advantage. They might as well just send it to you, and you give them the receipt. But which of these ministries would we minister to out of our general funds? Yeah, assembly camps. Good guess. That's an easy one. Well, the truth is, all of them. Now, the bottom one is North York Gospel Chapel. You might wonder why we would minister to North York Gospel Chapel. Well, we hold the Bible study every month, the second Saturday of every month, at 10 a.m. in the morning. 9:30 is coffee and donuts. And this coming month, Tom Irwin is finishing the second part of Daniel. And in February, March, Bruce will be doing 2 months in a row on the book of Romans. You are certainly invited and welcome. We have about 50 to 75 people who come every month. They drive a greater distance than you would have to drive. And so be encouraged. But where we hold that Bible study in the North York Gospel Chapel is in an all-purpose room. And it was extremely difficult to hear because of the echo. So Spread the Word ministered to the chapel to buy sound panels to definitely kill down the sound, which it has, and they work beautifully. Here are ministries that Spread the Word has ministered to over the years, and this is just some of them. Audio Lit is Brother Mario Gonzalez in Chicago, who does a ministry into Cuba by way of radio and tapes, the camps. Dime is a printing ministry in California that prints beautiful literature for the Olympics and or the World Cup. And in that is a schedule, but also a very clear gospel presentation. So that's a printing ministry. Emmaus, you understand. The rest, I think, are self-explanatory. Conferences that spread the word. Bible study every month. Every other year, in the even years, we run the second conference at Greenwood Hills. In the odd years, which is 2011 coming up, you have the spring conference, which is April 9th. The speakers are Randy Amos and Keith Kaiser. So mark down April 9th. That's for the spring conference at York. And then the shepherding conference at Greenwood Hills, which started in August, and we moved back to September, hopefully to get some cooler weather, which didn't happen this year. Let me say about the shepherding conference. All men of all ages, whether you're in oversight or not, are invited to attend and encouraged to attend. Brings up the question, what was the date of the first Bible study? Some of you sitting in the room may have been there, may have attended. You came on a Friday night, you stayed over either at our home or someone else's home. There were two sessions, and then there were more sessions on Saturday. It started in January of 1989. We had just moved into our house, which I designed specifically around the Bible study program. We could hold 65 people in the basement in tables in a classroom setting. What's the largest number attending the study was held in the house? You wouldn't know. People in York would know. The answer is 95. It didn't come up, but the answer is 95. What we used to do is people would go in the basement, they could listen, and then we would televise it from the basement to the first floor. And so you would sit on the first floor and also be able to see and hear the speaker. So we had 95 people. And the speaker was Boyd Nicholson speaking on the garments of the high priest. How many lunches have been served at the Bible study program? Ladies, you might be interested in this one. 2,200. That's a lot of planning, a lot of food. But that's why I said to you this morning, I believe the Lord has given me the perfect wife. Okay? Went through that. What's the approximate annual cost of operating the Bible study program? Think of 75 people coming to 40 teaching sessions, 10 months, 4 months, 4 sessions each. Food, speaker ministry, the answer is $5,000. What's the first year of the Shepherding Conference? Now, I should call on PT for this, since he was there, I believe. So I should test his memory. Huh? It was hot. Five. We've had years when it was 100 degrees with 16 sessions in 2 days. And that's why we moved it to September, and we got almost 100 degrees this year anyway. It has been, at least to me, a tremendous blessing for the men to come together and to hear the ministry that's given. But not only the ministry, the fellowship that is had amongst men, many of them in oversight, many of them possible future oversight. I can't say enough about encouraging you to come. I don't know how to say anything. What's the length of pages of the annual report that must be filed with the IRS by May of each year? You'd never know, but it's 12. So every May, I have to pull together 12 pages of information, detail, what programs were supported, how much was spent, where money was spent, who money was given to, and so forth. How many years has Spread the Word finished in the red? Now, I did this at York, and a little 11-year-old boy raised his hand. His name is Dondre. I said, Dondre, do you know even know what it means to be in the red? No. He just wanted to guess. Well, the answer may surprise you. It's one. And that was last year, and it was only because we decided to finish in the red. We decided that we would give money away. That would be more than we took in. Why do I show you that? I show you that to show you the goodness of the Lord in providing. Everything we've talked about, postage, Bible study, lunches, you name it, giving away books, giving away hundreds of thousands of tracts, God has provided for faithfully. And so be encouraged when you decide you have a ministry you'd like to start, if the Lord leads you into such a thing. To God be the glory. I'll close with that. But again, I really want to stress, not so much spread the word, but I really want to stress what's in your hand. And really want to stress, sow the seed everywhere. Really want to stress, sow the seed, someone else may water. Someone else may reap the harvest. But the seed may grow in places you'd be surprised. Let's just close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, we just thank Thee for reviewing Your goodness, Your faithfulness, and the way You use small things. Lord, we just pray for those who are here tonight, that perhaps out of this gathering, someone would be encouraged to start a ministry that would bring honor and glory to Thee, would take the gospel to the lost world, perhaps would teach saints, would encourage, would show hospitality. Whatever that ministry may be, we pray, Lord, You would encourage them to take the first step. And so we just pray that You would use this report of Your faithfulness to encourage everyone here to use that which You've given them. So we thank You for the time together, ask Your blessing upon it, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.